This is Trends and Issues in Instructional Design, Educational Technology, and Learning Science, hosted by Abby Brown and Tim Green.
Hi, this is Tim, and I'm here with Abby.
Hi, this is Abby, and I'm here with Tim.
Welcome to episode 170 of our podcast, where we review the trends and issues in instructional design, educational technology, and learning sciences that we observed as we flipped resources into our Flipboard magazine over the past 2 weeks. In this episode, we have four trends we'll discuss, along with a recommended reading that goes with each of the four trends. We end our episode by peering into the crystal ball and making predictions about the trends we believe we'll observe in the upcoming 2 weeks. Abby, start us off by talking about our four trends and sharing our recommended readings.
Thank you, Tim. Yes, as you mentioned, what we do is we're looking at sort of the trends that seem to have coalesced from the articles that we flipped into our Flipboard magazine. This past 2 weeks, we did not flip as many articles as we normally do. There weren't as many articles out there that we felt were of interest to people who specialize in educational technology and instructional design. So I want to kind of put that out there for everybody before we get started, because the trending we saw was based on a limited number of articles, maybe 20, 25 articles. So we're talking about a trend being 4 or 5 similar articles. Number one was teaching online. And that's been quite common for the past, really since the pandemic, but even before the pandemic, that we see teaching online as being a primary trend. Instructor perspectives, we saw articles about the reluctant online instructor becoming interested in teaching online. We saw a couple of articles about building virtual worlds and virtual experiences for online instruction, especially at the college level. For example, there are some colleges that are using Minecraft in a very interesting way to engage students in instruction. We also saw rules of thumb for sound online instruction, feedback and engagement strategies for use in online settings. Our recommended read in this area is Rutgers Surveyed Students on Remote Learning, Crafted Tips for Teachers by Jake Williams for EdScoop. And again, as always, I apologize if I'm mispronouncing anyone's names, but this article was interesting. It reported on a resource that was developed and published on the website Medium. On Medium, it's called Left to Their Own Devices. And it is we think it's a very good article a very good resource for kind of rules of thumb and tips on teaching online, especially people dealing with their own devices as they're doing this, the BYOD situation, which is pretty much everybody's situation as they're dealing with online learning. Speaking of online learning, number two is remote learning. And again, this has happened a few times now since the pandemic, where we've seen articles that are specific to remote learning as opposed to teaching online. So we saw articles for things like advice from the American Medical Association to parents about how to keep their children healthy during these remote learning situations, where it can be a bit of a physical strain. And certainly a psychological strain. We also saw a number of articles about research on effective learning. For example, research shows be sure to take a good number of breaks as one is engaging in the remote learning process. Get up, walk away from the computer, let yourself sort of think things through a little bit. Our recommended read in this area is the extremely weird story of a remote learning company that's making parents livid by Jared Newman for Fast Company. The company the remote learning company that's causing the problem, according to Newman, is a company called Excellus. But it's a really interesting read in terms of, as you and I were talking about this before, Tim, It's a really interesting read about a company that puts forth a questionable product. And as educational technology experts, one of the things I think that you and I agree we have to do is be sort of vigilant about vetting products before we recommend them. And that it as with any product anywhere, sometimes the marketing hype can look a lot more attractive than the actual quality of the product itself. So this is a really great case study of a problematic product.
And as we were talking about, it could be, take out Excellus, it could be any
exactly.
company. So it's just right. a good cautionary tale for any tool that we're going to use.
Cautionary tale, exactly, yes. So number three is a new one for us, I think.
It
video
is.
Conferencing,
yeah.
right? I mean,
right.
video conferencing just specifically
yeah.
having to do with...
I'm not sure we've ever had that as a standalone trend.
I don't think we have. I can't remember it. It's all basically, it was a solid number of articles that were about things like this, and give examples. The awkwardness of using tools like Zoom to conduct classes. And it's a nice article because it also says, well, yes, this is awkward. Here's what we've learned from this. The continuing improvement of video conferencing software and the instructional design strategies employed to teach with it. There, among other things, software developers like Microsoft and their product Microsoft Teams, they've been adding things and adapting things based on what we must assume is just a boatload of responses that they've received as so many more people have been using the product. They probably get a lot more feedback. So they're creating things like virtual commutes and headspace meditation in Teams, like building it into Teams. And our recommended read in this area also has to do with this. It's called Microsoft Teams and OneNote Bring These New Features for Remote Learning by Liam Tung for ZDNet. And now actually Tung is focusing on some of the features like breakout rooms and praise badges that
so
are
you
being
have,
built in.
You have to describe virtual commutes. Come on, don't leave people hanging on that.
I don't really know what the virtual commute actually, like I don't know how that works. They don't really describe it well in the article, except they describe the research behind it,
right.
which is
right.
good, which is apparently, not wanting to brag, but I talked about this years ago at conferences, making conference presentations based on some small amount of research mm-hmm. I did myself, but it did echo this. The research shows that people do well if they have 15 to 20 minutes opportunity at the beginning and the end of their work cycle for quiet reflection, to kind of think and to get themselves into a specific kind of headspace and then to let themselves leave that headspace. And that's something that is missing when you don't
right.
actually commute to a campus or go to school. But if it's all just part of the regular day, you get up and then just kind of roll over to the laptop and do something, you may want to build in this kind of reflective buffer time. And they're referring to it as a virtual commute.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that works into the product.
It is interesting, yes. And I'm curious, very curious to see it. But yes, yeah, so the other things that Tung is talking about in his article is breakout rooms, which is something that I've heard from colleagues a great deal, is people asking about how best to sort of set things up so that they can have small group discussions.
Yeah.
And so I think...
And Zoom does it. I mean, Zoom has that. It's good to see Microsoft Teams working that in too.
All of the companies seem to be working that in. But it is interesting to see them improving the product
right.
and making it a little, each time they're sort of raising the bar. So now our fourth trend here is security and citizenship, which is an unsurprising trend if one has been listening to us for any length of time. This comes up a lot. And so we're kind of happy to see a bit of a focus on this here. First of all, there was a good review of the Netflix documentary, The Social Dilemma, which I personally have not seen yet, but
I haven't either.
I'm looking forward to watching it. I've heard very good things from people I trust. We also saw an article about VPN, virtual private network issues related to students, international students in foreign countries taking U.S. online courses. In this case, one of the articles focused directly on Chinese students having a kind of difficulties with employing a VPN in their home country as they're trying to take a course in the U.S. It's particularly problematic given the way the Chinese internet setup works. So that was an interesting sort of security and citizenship issue. Security-wise, a critical Windows bug that received a rare Homeland Security emergency alert was reported in the last 2 weeks. And this is rare. I mean, Homeland Security rarely flags a Windows bug. But apparently, Microsoft servers that are at risk for the zero logon vulnerability were kind of issued a red alert as opposed to just a, hey, you might want to fix this. It was like, fix this now. So that was interesting. And also interesting, and I don't know, I guess this falls into the citizenship area or security area, more citizenship, I think. Facebook just recently introduced something called Rights Manager for Images. And the point of this is to help individuals and groups protect their media content so that one can actually check on where one's images are going from Facebook and can issue warnings to people saying, look, you know, this is not cool. You're breaking a copyright, you know, here. So that's, again, a very interesting new feature for Facebook. Our recommended read in this area also echoes the fact that iOS 14 just came out this last 2 weeks. iOS 14 privacy feature breaks some enterprise, school, and retail setups by Ben Lovejoy for 9 to 5 Mac. Apparently, for some institutions like universities, some institutions have some trouble with the iOS 14 privacy feature. And you really have to read the article. I can't do it justice to try to explain how it works because I'm still trying to get my head around it myself. But worth reading, especially if you are the go-to person in your area and need to be able to explain this to somebody else, why their phone is suddenly not getting email from campus. Well, that's what we've got, Tim. Those are our four trends and our four recommended readings.
Thank you. Now we peer into the crystal ball and make predictions about the trends we believe we'll see in the upcoming 2 weeks. I mean, you can guess some of them, right? Teaching online, remote learning.
Right.
Those are
hardware and software.
Yeah, hardware and software, even though, which is interesting, it wasn't one of the trends.
It wasn't.
Yeah, that we saw for this episode. We also talked about possibly seeing more about video conferencing, right?
I think so, Tim. Yeah. I think we're going to see a lot more about video conferencing. You and I said this was kind of a no-brainer here on our part because of the ubiquity of its use right now.
Right. Security issues, and so security issues as well.
Yes.
We'll see that. Go ahead.
I also think that we're going to see more about these virtual experiences, the VR experiences, because people are looking for alternatives, just something to kind of create a greater engagement. Everybody's always trying to improve the instruction, no matter where. And what we're discovering is that these are some options that we're experimenting with to see whether or not they improve the instructional experience when you're in a remote situation. So I think we'll see more about that.
So I think those are all the ones that we talked about that we think we'll see in the upcoming 2 weeks. So that brings us to the conclusion of episode 170 of our podcast. We'd like to thank our followers and viewers of our Flipboard magazine and our podcast subscribers. You can listen to past episodes of our podcast and find the links to the recommended readings by visiting our website at trendsandissues.com. Our next episode will air on October 7th.
This podcast is produced by Professor Abby Brown at East Carolina University and Professor Tim Green at California State University, Fullerton. Copyright Abby Brown and Tim Green.